Hello there, welcome to Sell Your Company for Maximum Value, episode number 7. Today in the studio we have a familiar face, our Chief Financial Officer, Jenny Swain. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you very much, it's good to be
and
here.
And for the first time ever, our lead attorney, he reminds me of the old pitcher. What was the old pitcher's name?
Roger
Clemens, because his name is Steve Clemens. He's our starting pitcher for our firm, which means he's always in the bullpen. If he's available, he's our first choice always.
Welcome
to the show, Steve.
Thank you very much.
All right. So last week we talked about two chapters. We went into where the magic, chapter 9, where the magic happens, and chapter 10, negotiating the letter of intent. This week we're going to talk about chapter 11, due diligence, navigating the landmines. And the reason Steve's here, we're also going to talk about chapter 12, lawyers, deal makers versus deal breakers. So we've done this podcast and show to really put the resource out there for business owners on what's the process of selling your company for maximum value. When you're done building it 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, what's the process to sell your company for maximum value? We have a 10-step unique process. Starts with meeting our client. We had one yesterday off our radio show. We had a gentleman in that owns an HVAC company. It's 40 years old. Him and his wife came into the firm, and for 2 hours, we listened. We laid back and said, okay, tell us how you started the HVAC company and where are you at today? And that lasted about an hour and a half, 2 hours. There's no agenda. We get to know them. They get to know us. Ultimately, we select one out of four, but they've got to select us. We have to select them. After that, if we sign a listing engagement, we're going to have another meeting with them next week, Tuesday. Sometimes it's one meeting or two or maybe even three on a larger $20 million transaction like we did last year. So we're going to meet them next week. But after that, assume we sign a listing or engagement letter. At that point, Vanessa, our VP of Client Engagement, will send out a welcome email and the information will start flowing to you.
That's
correctly?
Right. Yep.
Yep. So you'll open a Dropbox file, you'll open our data room, and you'll start to do what?
Right. So we start to collect a bunch of information from them.
Yep.
So we collect things like a business profile where they talk about how their business started. They talk about their background, how they built their business, all of their strengths and weaknesses,
right.
What type of services or products they provide. So we start to gather all of this information. We ask them for their financial statements, photos, all that good stuff. And then it culminates in creating this beautiful marketing package that we can then go out to market with.
Yep. So at that point, you're doing the marketing package. You're completing all the financial information. As you're doing that, Tom's doing the HD 4K video. Mm-hmm. He's on site with the manufacturer and distribution or service company. And also the principal's talking on camera, and that's really brings that emotional aspect into that business because it's not all about just financials and numbers. This business is 80% emotional and 20% EBITDA in numbers, in my opinion anyway. So step 4 then, we screen the prospective buyers on all the websites. Step 5, we schedule that buyer-seller meeting. We talked about it last week, the magic either happens. Mm-hmm. Todd Hutchinson, our VP of Exit Strategy, and I talked about the magic happens in that buyer-seller meeting or it doesn't. We really listen to the client. Did they like that person? Are they a good generational fit for that business? Step 6, we entice multiple letters of intent. We even went into how we negotiate the best option. What are we going to negotiate? The price, the structure, the cash down, if it's seller financing, the interest rate, the term, all of those things. And I bounce a lot of ideas off Steve. Steve, you've been instrumental in helping me think through a lot of that. A lot of times you get it before the LOI. Sometimes you get it after the LOI. But
true.
I always appreciate your advice. Then we move on, and we're almost to there. Then we review all the offers in person with a client. And here we are at due diligence. What a word. Due diligence.
Due diligence.
You know, I had learned that word in 2008 when I got in the business. Someone said, you have to do your due diligence. And I was like, what is that? What is due diligence? Steve, what would you say before I get into due diligence? We're going to come back to you with obviously the lawyers,
yes.
You know, deal breakers versus deal makers. You're definitely a deal maker. When I say the word due diligence, what does it mean?
I think of all the detailed analysis on the guts of the business.
Mm.
That's what I think of.
Yep.
The things that matter that nobody cares about
right.
focusing on because it's not fun.
Right, right. And I put a detailed list of due diligence items mm-hmm. in the book, but
it's documents, it's information,
right.
financial numbers,
right.
Customer names. It's all the stuff
right.
that's not sexy.
So we have a signed deal. We have refundable earnest money. It's executed LOI, and now we launch it to due diligence.
That's right.
And we normally start with the buyer sends his over his due diligence list.
Right.
Now tell me, Jenny, been such a blessing to the firm, how you take the weight of that. So sometimes it's an extensive list.
Right, right. Yeah, it depends on who
10,
the buyer
20, 30,
is.
40 items, right?
If it's a small private buyer, then they don't typically have this humongous due diligence list. But if it's a private equity firm, they've typically retained another accounting firm that's going to do all of this due diligence process. But what I do is I will set up a data room that we all have joint access to. And so I act as the intermediary between the buyer and the seller. So
nice.
The buyer provides this huge document, and I go back to the seller and ask him for all those pieces of information. I vet them and make sure that they look good, that they tie to the financials if they're
Absolutely.
Supposed to, all of that good stuff. And then I upload them into the data room and provide access to the, to
nice.
The buyer.
Nice. I think you do, you're a blessing, not just to the firm, but then all of a sudden that client sees the value of Jenny.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because you're helping them with VIN numbers, lists of equipment, inventory, leases, profit and loss, balance sheets, all of that information comes together.
Yep.
And you really have done a great job taking not only the heat off of them, but so I can stay as the lead deal maker on the deal.
Right.
Negotiating
points. It helps the seller, too, because they have a business to run. They have employees to manage. And that way, they're not having to deal with the back and forth. They get to provide the information.
Yep.
I check to make sure that it makes sense. And then I provide it to the buyer, and they don't have to go back and forth.
And it's our job, if they want to, you know, the offer says 180 days in due diligence, our job is to shorten that to 90, 60,
right.
or 30 days, something reasonable, because it is like, kind of like a financial proctor exam for our sellers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of times, if you have an accounting firm on the other side, quote unquote,
right.
Then they're going to ask a lot of questions about how the spreadsheets were built
Correct.
Or how the schedules were done. And
right.
But the seller doesn't want to be tied up having to deal with all of that. They need someone else to do
that. So
you're
kind of like an outsourced CFO for our sellers at times.
Right.
Where you're defending EBITDA, you're going over the line items, you're cleaning it up in the beginning.
Right.
At this point, you're really letting the information flow through you.
Right.
You're evaluating it and flowing it over to the buyer.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And sometimes we've even gone so far as to, I have access to their accounting systems and I just pull the data right out.
Unbelievable.
So they don't even have to run the reports put them into reports and send them over.
It's great.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get to our starting pitcher here. Steve Clemens.
Yes, sir.
I want to take people back.
Okay.
Let's talk about when we get legal involved. This is important. One of the key attributes that you really have showcased is that you don't ask for this outrageous amount up front like some lawyers do, at least not with us. You really have treated us like family at the firm, in that we know, on one side, we know we have a deal when I get Steve involved. We know it. All financial contingencies are all but removed. I mean, we know we have a deal. So that's one of the reasons he can offer that. He can do that. He can start working on the transaction. Because you represent seller nine times out of 10 with us. So I just think it's great that you can do that.
And the seller doesn't need a lawyer on a deal until it becomes a deal.
That's right.
Or it's a waste of the seller's time, 100%. The seller's money, 100%. Everything.
100%. I love that. I don't think we've closed one. Here's another point. We've closed 100% of the deals we've done with you. I don't know if it's 6, 8, or 10, or 12, but we've worked 6 to 12 deals with you, and every single one that we work with Steve has come to a conclusion. Think about that. Mm-hmm. That's why I call you our starting pitcher, ace pitcher.
It is not my job to get in the way of a deal closing.
Yep.
I want to facilitate a deal that is good for our seller.
Yep.
And that everybody's happy
That's
with.
Right.
And
so
I don't negotiate the business terms. So when I get a deal, when you give me a seller that I'm representing, I want to protect the seller, but I'm not here to change business points because those have already been negotiated.
That's right. But my point is we're in due diligence. We're at a point where the contingencies have been removed.
Mm-hmm.
SBA is finally approved. We get the final approval. We're close to it. We know we have a deal. Let's stop for a second and talk about real quickly. We met three and a half years ago. I think we went together to the ex-Dallas Cowboy...
Staubach.
Staubach was doing a talk at the Cowboy Stadium. We rode together. We watched that together. And here's what's crazy. For the next year, I looked, because your follow-up is amazing. Like 70 to 80 emails later, all Steve said is, give me a shot. Just give me a chance. We've now used you for 3 years. You've been the best lawyer we've ever used. We're not going to anyone else anytime soon unless you fire us. Hope you don't fire us. But you've been a huge blessing to the firm. You were at the Christmas party, the MBR & Associates Christmas party, Bob's Shop House this year. I'm sure you'll be at the next one. So I just want to thank you publicly.
You're welcome.
Up here on our show to say thank you for coming in, being part of the championship deal team, and you're batting 1,000 right now.
And I enjoy taking care of your clients.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it. So we're through due diligence. Steve gets a call. He signs an engagement letter with our seller. Very important step. Once he does that, we're off to the races. Here's what I love about you. You only bring up really serious situations. But you know what I like also?
What's that?
You bring up the solution right after that. Never seen that before.
Yeah, you don't want to bring up a problem if you haven't thought through the ways to work through it.
No, but I've seen it all. I've seen lawyers bring up little tiny bow, and there's a huge mountain all of a sudden. It goes on for months. You bring up a serious situation, but what I love about you is you bring up the solution right with it.
Well, and it's easy to have a smooth deal when the buyer has a lawyer on their side that is familiar with how to do deals.
Right.
And so at that point, we only focus on the things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to have lawyers on both sides who are familiar with M&A work. Many times, I will have a lawyer on the other side who is the general family practitioner. And that process can be painful just because the guy or gal has not done a lot of acquisition work.
You bring up a great point. I've interviewed over 200 lawyers to find you. Mm-hmm. So if a seller wants to use a family friend that doesn't know M&A work, that could be a disaster, could it not?
It's nice to be committed and loyal, but when you're selling your baby that you've built a business over this many years, you've got to find somebody who has experience in selling businesses because it's a different animal.
And it's a one-time, lifetime.
You got one shot.
Once in a lifetime event.
Yep. And there are issues that are unique to selling a business that a general practitioner's not going to be familiar with.
Right.
Because they don't do it every day.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember on this recent transaction we closed, the first one of the year, Peterson's Landscaping, you called me on a fence problem. because we sold the business and the building.
And the real property, yeah.
And the fence was off about 10 feet. I'll never forget the day you called. You called with the problem and the solution.
Yeah, you never want to talk with your client or with you or unless you've thought through possible solutions. Otherwise, we just stressing everybody out and scares everybody the deal's going to crater.
Yeah.
So you got a good lawyer will come up with solutions at the same time he presents the problem.
You're a great lawyer. You're a great lawyer. I appreciate it. And a good friend. Anything else you can think? I'm going to turn it over to you. Any legal things? You talk directly to me and us, but the business owner right now is listening.
Well,
talk to them about what they should be looking for in a lawyer. I mean, a lot of times that's you, but what do they need to look for in dotting the I's and crossing the T's? Let's talk about that.
The lawyer does all the stuff that, like due diligence, it's not fun. And I don't want any client to have their deal waiting on the lawyer who is slow to respond. My job is to keep these deals progressing when the ball comes back to my court. And to use the basketball analogy, when the ball's in my court, I want to get it out of my court soon so that the deal keeps progressing toward a closing. My clients are ready to get these deals done. They want to get their sales proceeds. They want to move on to the next part of their life.
They want it yesterday.
They want to get on to the next part of their life. And my job as the lawyer is to try to get them. I look at the letter of intent. I want to get them all the money I can get them that's provided for in the letter of intent with as few contingencies and few roadblocks.
Right.
And that's the hard part of the lawyer's job is when you have to make the letter of intent turn into a purchase agreement.
Yep.
You've got to make sure the purchase agreement is as airtight as you can get.
You and I are on the same page. That's why we negotiate cash down, exact interest rates, exact term. How long are they going to stay in the transaction?
There's concepts like holdbacks and earnouts.
We don't do any
of
that.
And I try to explain that to clients if that's involved.
You know why we don't do earnouts? They're, in my opinion, most of the time designed not to be paid.
The perfect deal, you get all cash up front. Or as much as you can with a little bit of seller
financing. And we've done a ton of those deals.
Seller notes, I want to have the buyer guarantee the payment of the note.
100%. I've never even seen it any other way. See, I've done things a certain way since 2008, and that's why we don't do earnouts. Much of the time, the buyer's designing the earnout so that they can't. Maybe it gets hit. It probably doesn't get hit. Mm-hmm. And our job, me and Steve, is that you protect them, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. But as a lead deal maker, my job is they get the most amount of money. That's why the book's called Sell Your Company, not for minimum value, absolutely, for maximum value. Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating. I think what you do at the end of deals to dot the I's, cross the T's, and make sure to transfer that business, 95% of them are asset sales, 5% or so are stock sales. Can you explain to our audience the difference between a stock sale and an asset sale?
Yes, because everybody uses the term generically, I'm going to sell my business. There's two ways to do it, like you said. An asset sale is where the buyer comes in, forms their own LLC, and they simply pick which assets they want to buy. And it's great for the buyer because they're not going to be picking things that they don't want, things that are risky. Now, the other sale is called an equity sale, an ownership sale, stock sale, where the seller is going to sell his LLC or corporation to the buyer, the entity itself. Both of them, we work on those all the time, but by far the most common and the smoother, easier transaction is an asset deal.
That's true. There's a few situations where there's contracts that won't transfer. We have to turn that into a stock sale.
Yes.
You and I talk about what's best for our seller, stock or asset.
Most buyers are going to want an asset sale.
Absolutely. They're going to be warned against liabilities, whether it be IRS liabilities, payroll, back taxes, whatever.
Yeah,
slip and falls.
Buyers don't want to buy an entity from somebody that has a disgruntled employee from 2 years ago that after they buy the entity, the disgruntled employee comes back to cause issues. Right.
Exactly.
But I explain all that to the clients.
Yep. Yeah, and you and I have worked on a deal as little as $500,000, and we worked on multi-million dollar deals. I mean, we've got a deal coming up. We're about to put on a contract for $11 million. You're going to be working on it.
And the issues are the same.
Yep.
But the larger the deal, I explain to the client, they require and demand more focus and attention.
Yep.
There's more at stake.
Yep. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Sell Your Company for Maximum Value.
To book a discovery meeting with Michael and receive a complimentary opinion of value, you can visit us on the web at sellmycompanynow.com. That's sellmycompanynow.com, or call us at 855-637-2020. That's 855-637-2020. Sell your company for maximum value.
All right, welcome back. I really want to kind of, we have about five more minutes to discuss due diligence and lawyers, deal makers versus deal breakers. You're the ultimate deal maker. That's what I love about you, Steve. You're the ultimate deal maker.
Good to hear.
Not only do you finish transactions, but if it's a little issue, you call me on vacation. I'm kidding. I'm never on vacation. You call me. We talk about it.
I text you at night.
You text me at reasonable hours, and we talk about it. And you never make you never blow your hope torch out. I talk about that. People go, how do you do 10 deals a year? I never blow my hope torch out. Mm-hmm. Neither does he. We always try to find the solution, do we not?
We absolutely do.
But there's a balance there. Let's talk about that balance. I'm going to throw it back to you. The balance between, we won't do a deal. I always say this. It's got to be a win-win-win or we don't want to be involved. So talk about the balance where we might blow a deal up.
Well, and I tell...
For our client.
Our clients, that, you know, the letter of intent, the purchase agreement, the deal, that's all very important. But if we get to a point in the deal where there's an issue that comes up that's unexpected,
right,
or the other side has become unreasonable
and
it's not good for our client, then I will explain the options, and you got to be willing to walk away from a deal if the client is not protected.
I will say if you're a business brokerage, you're an M&A firm, you're looking for a lawyer that's a deal maker, not a deal breaker, Steve's your guy, and here's why. He'll call you first. You've called me first before those options are spread out to the... I've had every other lawyer's done it the other way around. They call our client that I've been working with for 2 years, you've been working with for 3 months, and they give them the options without me even on the phone.
Right.
You call the intermediary first. That's why I love how you work with M&A firms.
You know the client better than anybody. You can come up with the options, the alternatives.
I appreciate it. It's the right way to handle it, right?
But at the end of the day, if you don't find something that you think is good for the client, then you'll pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And you'll say, we're not going to do this deal. It's not good for you.
Hughes tank last year. We canceled the LOI. Mm-hmm. It was $1 million fee to our firm. Was it not 7 figures?
Right. Yeah.
And without hesitation, mm-hmm. we canceled the LOI on the phone with the buyer. Right. As he elevated his voice, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. We mm-hmm. canceled it. Mm-hmm. We started the entire process over at step one. Right. I mean, well, not step one, but all of a sudden we're qualifying buyers again. Right. Step five. And we had to run that another 5 months before it closed to the right buyer, the Mag Group. And it's just so satisfying to see the right buyer mm-hmm. carry on the generational legacy of that business. That's our number one thing. Folks out there, if you're listening, MD Art Associates, if you work with us, we want to make sure the generational legacy is intact. We want to make sure you get maximum value, just like the book says, for your business. And we want to do it confidentially. And in the end, we want to dot the I's and cross the T's with the starting pitcher, Steve Clemens. Appreciate both of you coming in the studio. Any final thoughts for Jenny? You got any final thoughts you want to leave us with about due diligence and legal matters?
No, you know, I think that we do due diligence the right way. Mm. I think we take the pressure off of our seller, off of our client,
yep.
and make it as easy as possible. It's the least favorite part of the process, in my opinion.
It's a beating.
it's the least favorite part. It's necessary.
Whooping.
But we try to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, we try to shorten it. We try to take the burden off of them with you working alongside them as kind of an outsourced CFO. And then Steve, when we get to the legal process, mm-hmm. any comments about what you'd like, you know, with sellers, talk to them directly about anything, you know, anything you want to talk
mine
about.
Mine would be, it's not about hiring your friend as your lawyer.
Good.
It's not about going with the cheapest lawyer.
That's great.
It's about going with somebody who has experience in buying and selling businesses.
Pay for professionals if you're, you know, especially when you're doing this, like we said. A lot of times, once in a lifetime event.
You don't get another shot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you retire gracefully, transfer that business properly. I mean, you've helped myself and some partners buy and sell businesses. So, you know, we started MDR Equity Partners. We're now buying into some of the. We have the ability to buy any of our listings at MDR Equity Partners, and you helped us with the first one. So, mm-hmm. Again, appreciate both of you.
Thank you.
All right. So next week we are going to wrap up the book. We're done.
Wow.
Two more chapters. So this will be the 8th episode next week. And so next week we're going to go over chapter 13, closing and transition. Proceed with caution. We're going to coach mm-hmm. our business owners on what does that meeting with your employees look like the day of closing? So important, isn't it, Steve?
Absolutely.
And then the last chapter is where are they now, right? The next season of your life. We're on the radio this week, WBAP. If you haven't listened to our radio show, it's Sundays 12 to 1. Jenny on the Block is, I couldn't do it without you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
We go back and forth and it's fun. Yeah. And we offer a free complimentary opinion of value and introductory calls, free copy of the book. We've done that the last few weeks. It's fun. Easter was great. We had a great Easter episode.
Yep.
We got four or five sellers that are now coming in to meet with us mm-hmm. off the radio. So it's exciting.
Right.
So we're going to put up some information. I guess that's about it, folks. So thanks for joining us this week with Sell Your Company for Maximum Value. Until next week, be blessed. Hey, thanks for tuning in. You can find this podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or Facebook. We're on the radio every Sunday, 12 to 1 p.m. That's Sundays, 12 to 1 p.m. on Dallas-Fort Worth's number one news talk radio station, WBAP, on AM 820 and now FM 93.3. Until next week, I'm Michael Rubin as your host. Be blessed.
To book a discovery meeting with Michael and receive a complimentary opinion of value, you can visit us on the web at sellmycompanynow.com. That's sellmycompanynow.com or call us at 855-637-2020. That's 855-637-2020. Sell your company for maximum value.